happy to be joined now by Evan Drellich of The Athletic on the line. Evan, thanks so much for doing this.
You got it, guys. How you doing?
We're doing all right.
Depends on how this goes.
Yeah, I know. I was going to say my mood very much hinges on this on this interview, Evan. All right, what's your feeling now? Where's your pendulum swinging? Pessimism, optimism?
Well, the last week made me, I suppose, a little bit more pessimistic. But the whole time, I've had the opinion that there's no way they can let the economics act baseball this year. If baseball's not going to be played, to me, it's going to be because of health. You know, I think the greatest question is ultimately going to be, can they finish a season? I you can get a day of baseball in. Can you get 82 games in a regular season? Can you get through a playoffs with everybody staying healthy enough that you don't have to halt the season?
Yeah, so is that going to be the great differentiator then? Because the NBA, it appears, is this is going to happen. In fact, if it didn't, most people at this point would feel pretty shocked, I would assume. It's coming down to one or two venues and what it is. And clearly baseball's logistics are different, but is basically the health argument going to center around the amount of time these guys are going to have to play, investing, you know, up to 4 months or over 4 months versus the NBA where you'd have two teams that maybe play 2 months?
Well, something could go wrong for any, but you know, whether you're doing a quarantine setup or you're doing something like what MLB is attempting to do, which is mostly home parks, and the final iteration of that is to be determined. Something can go wrong there, either way. But I just mean it in terms of the money fight right now in baseball is not pretty. It's going to turn people off in this moment, but I just can't see how eventually they don't get to a point where they don't allow that to interfere. But right now, they're working on the health protocols. MLB gave the union a draft. The union, as well as the teams, are sending revisions back to the league. So there is progress on the health protocol front in MLB, but we're still waiting to see what the money looks like. And the player pay stuff has been contentious to this point.
Yeah, it definitely has. But we've also seen, like, more recently, and you guys have a story out today, and I've seen a story on ESPN, and some actual players as quoted as saying how vehemently they disagree with some of the health protocols, some of the, like, even the not being able to shower in the clubhouse stuff, the buffet line. Like, am I kind of even sleeping on how much of a battle that might be, or do you think that one just falls into place, and it is really the number one thing we should be looking at is the money fight?
I to this point, I'm convinced that the more contentious fight is going to be the money fight. I think there's going to be enough support to return the sport in some way, with all these different modifications, whatever those modifications end up looking like. If something is going to be collaborative here, I have to believe that the health protocols are what will end up looking like something of a partnership. You know, it's not like they're going to put all these rules into place and then have, I think, these stern punishments. Some people were asking about that yesterday. I don't sense enough of a sentiment that we don't want to go back out there with modified baseball. It's a simple question in some ways. You have two choices. You play in a modified way or you don't play at all. You know, people who are going to say this is too much of an adjustment, okay, is it too much of an adjustment such that you do not want to play?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the next question is what this smoking gun means, because this article is going around and there's this word that the owners have basically an email that is proving that the players have already agreed to renegotiation if there were going to be no fans in the stands. And my misunderstanding here is, okay, well, sure, this might have relevancy in terms of the league wanting to be able to renegotiate this, but in terms of anything else, how does this play? What are we supposed to make of the quote-unquote smoking gun?
Yeah, see, this is you're onto something here. It would have been more of a smoking gun had it been an actual email from the union or some sort of communication directly from the union, as opposed to an internal recollection at MLB. But all of this is kind of talking around the point. There's no disagreement that in March, the players got a pay structure outlined, but the owners also got the power to start the season or not start the season. Everything at this moment boils down to the players saying, yeah, we agreed to pay, and the owners saying, well, we just want to have to start the season. They're arguing right now about the context in which they would start this negotiation. Basically, the league is upset that the players are saying we don't have to renegotiate. No matter how you slice it, eventually you need to get to a new proposal. And that hasn't happened. And that is something the players are saying. Hey, why doesn't MLB just make us a proposal? They're essentially fighting over the leverage going into the new proposal. But it's a little bit of noise, honestly, because until you get to a new proposal, what are we doing? We're just kind of dancing with each other.
No, they're battling for public sentiment. They're battling to win the PR war, right, Evan? Like, this is, we heard about the smoking gun. It's out there for all of us to see. It's not just given to an arbitrator as evidence to win your side of the argument. Will this continue? Like, this is what's ugly about the whole thing, is that all this mud is being slung at each other in the public sphere. Is that going to continue?
Well, it's a contentious backdrop between these two sides, and there's a lot of issues and developments leading into this. Tanking in baseball, use of revenue sharing dollars by smaller market teams like the Pirates, service time issues, the fact that the players are perceived to have, well, factually did, have kind of bad outcomes in the last two collective bargaining agreements. So they've been chippy before, and I don't expect them to not be chippy going forward here. They don't have unlimited time, but they do have a couple weeks probably to play with. You can get into June, right around the start of June, before you need the economics worked out. And so June 1st is kind of a reasonable area to watch for when the money would have to get into place, basically.
Yeah, and that's, you know what? That's kind of what's buoying me, Evan, because I know these negotiations, so often it's down to deadlines. Is that the way you feel, that there's not a ton of time left, but when the rubber meets the road, when we're looking at a couple of days before the start of June and things really needing to be tidied up if they want to have a season, that will create the deal between the players and the league?
Yeah, that's a reasonable sentiment. That certainly comes up in regular collective bargaining. You know, last year, the league and the union had these unprecedented talks in the middle of the CBA. They didn't go anywhere for a variety of reasons, but part of the reason it might have gone nowhere is because there was no, forgive the phrase, gun to anybody's head. There was no pressure to get it done in the immediacy. And at a certain point, you know, could you start a regular season in August? I guess. But you need to have some sort of sanctity and strength in your regular season schedule. You play a 30-game regular season schedule and then an expanded 17 each league playoff. You know, people aren't going to look at that champion in quite the same way. So, and plus, you know, there is money involved with just playing the game. So I think come the end of this month, early June, the pressure will be there.